As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The penalties, definitely the timing of them wasn't obviously something we were able to overcome there in the first half. I know, you know, we have a big play breakdown that we do just with all the different things involved. And, you know, we were minus 10 at halftime. And I think just the fact that, you know, it was illustrated, you know, the number of things we had to just continue to overcome. They made some big plays. They did a nice job of controlling the, you know, time of possession. But, yeah, I think that was, you know, something that got in the way there in the first half, particularly in point production, sustaining the drives.
The last drive, it appeared they had a fumble, but you couldn't challenge it because you were out of timeouts.
Correct.
Correct. It go back to that timeout on the field goal. What happened there? Or extra point?
Well, I mean, it was a 2-point. You know, they went to a 2-point, and you know, in a substitution, and you know, obviously we needed a substitute, so we called a timeout because of the the decision there, and you know, hopefully through communication, was trying to get the timeout back because you know. The lateness of, you know, of their substitution going from, you know, field goal to so forth, but that was not the case.
What's your message after a game like this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, we just had an excellent opportunity to get to 12-4, and really felt that we were doing a number of good things coming into it. Just like anything in the game, you evaluate everything, you have game plans for everything, and you know, we're well aware of the things we need to work on and what our statistics show as far as in the area of, you know, officiating. This crew is weekly, you know, high in officiating numbers, and, you know, so we just, you know, tried to really illustrate that all week. And I think the timing of our penalties for us personally was something that was, you know, a challenge for us to overcome.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Cowboys couldn't overcome a lot today. Maybe more than just the penalties. As they fall to Kyler and the Cardinals, 25-22 at AT&T Stadium. Welcome into another post-game edition of About Them Cowboys, which we will discuss at all. We've got one of our own, Father John Machota, standing by at AT&T Stadium. He just talked to Jerry Jones, and we're going to get to that audio as well. I'm Kent, producing, welcoming in three of the best of the best when it comes to breaking down all things Dallas Cowboys. We've got Saad Youssef from The Athletic back, and back in the hosting chair, it's Kevin KT Turner. And of course, Father John Machota's here as well. KT, pretty disappointing. Let's get into it.
Thank you very much, Kent. And yes, a tough one right there. The Cowboys couldn't pull that one out. It was pretty sloppy, to be honest. Trailing 13-7 at the half, trailing 22-7 going into the fourth quarter. And then kind of got a little wake-up call from the offense in the end. Too many penalties. A real slow start by the offense. There's some coaching questions. You can maybe bring the referees into it. There's a lot of things that you could talk about in the end. Just didn't put together a very complete game at home with a chance to put a little pressure on the other teams in the NFC and have a chance at getting, you know, home field advantage in the NFC. John, we'll start with you live from AT&T Stadium. Go ahead and give your quick thoughts on what happened today.
Yeah, it's certainly disappointing for people like me who thought that they were going to build off of that Washington blowout. That clearly didn't happen. You know, people always ask whenever I do any interviews, whether it's podcasts, whatever, about like, how do you beat this Cowboys team? And a lot of times I'll say that if you stop the run, that's a good start, you know, or just because of the style of play, it's usually one of my go-to things. And plus, you know, generally good teams run the ball well. Obviously the Cowboys didn't do that today. We'll talk about that later, but I've changed that completely. It's just don't turn over the ball. If you're a good team and you don't give them any extra possessions, that's their kryptonite. They need takeaways. And it's not just for the extra possession or stealing, it's the momentum it brings. This team feeds off of those. Like, I don't know anybody that has watched this Cowboys team all year long that didn't have the feeling like if that ball is a fumble there late in the fourth quarter, obviously they recovered it. Like, you felt real confident they were going to go down with that momentum and probably win this game. And they just could not get that takeaway today. Now, with me saying all of that, I do not put the blame for this loss on the defense. I put it on the offense. Rushing 45 rushing yards against that rush defense. Like, that ain't like a top 10 rush defense. It's not, you know, elite rush defense. 45 yards, 2.6 yards per carry. That was disheartening. And that includes the fact that how many run plays did they have that jumbo package of like, we're going to bring in 8 offensive linemen, you know, like, and to only average 2.6 yards when we thought it was trending in a good direction with what we've seen from Zeke, what we've seen last week from Dak running the ball. That was very disheartening. I'm surprised that the Cowboys offense did not put up more points against this Cardinals defense. Like, the Cardinals are a good team. They're a playoff team. I mean, nothing to take away from them. Kyler Murray is an outstanding player. All that stuff's fine. The Cowboys offense needs to be better, especially at home. You know, there's no elements. It would be one thing if they played like this because, oh yeah, we were playing outside and it was, you know, 20 degrees and windy. No, it's perfect conditions. You're healthy on both sides of the ball. They're not. They don't have their star running back, their star wide receiver, one of their star pass rushers. This was a game that the Cowboys offense need to play better in, and they should have won this game.
Yeah, and also, you know, to piggyback on John's point real quick, that 45 yards is including Dak Prescott's 20 yards. So if you take Dak, right, the quarterback, out of it, you'd put just Zeke and Pollard. That's whatever it was, 25 yards rushing between the two running backs. And, you know, 3 carries for Tony Pollard, that's not enough. And then just the average, like John said, the rushing attack just wasn't there. And that's, again, with Dak, it was 45 yards. Without Dak, it's 25.
This is when they were supposed to be right too. The offensive line has everybody back. It's got Connor Williams. It's got Tyron back, Lyle. And here's the thing. Like, I know that we'll talk about officiating, but like on those holds, I didn't see it as being like, what are they calling here? Like, you would watch the replay, which I do love that they show replays of these things. Cause I feel for a long time watching football, they would call a hold and they would just go on to the next play. It's like, no, let us see the replay of it. And yeah, did this ref crew call ticky-tack stuff? Absolutely. But I don't know that it was on those holdings. There were certainly several holding calls against multiple offensive linemen that they're a hold with just about any referee crew. Like, I'm not blaming that on them. They need to be better on that offensive line. I mean, let's be honest. That's the reason Connor Williams originally got pulled from the starting lineup, because there was too many penalties. That's really disheartening, because like I said, it's not like this was a full-strength Cardinals defense they were facing either.
Yeah, no, and I want to stay on that for a second, because there is a big faction of the fan base who is really mad at the referees for how today went. And I just want to go back to a couple things. A, what you said about looking at it, yes. I would say one of the holds I thought was like probably maybe shouldn't have been called. But everything else, I was kind of like, yeah, that's holding. Like, refs are taught to watch for indicators. They're taught to watch for your arms being extended. They're taught to watch where your hand placement is and things like that. It's important, and it's what refs watch for. And it's not like Arizona didn't get penalized today either. Arizona had some bad penalties that cost them some points early in the game as well. Now, we can talk about the turnover here in a little bit, but when I think about the penalties, look, the Cowboys have been penalized more than any team in the league by 11 penalties. Through 16 games, the Cowboys have been flagged 148 times. That's 11 more than Las Vegas. Like, it's not real close. So, you know, you can start saying that type of thing. I'm not one of those people who believes the league is rigged. And by the way, why would the league be rigged when A, serious injuries happen to these people, and B, the Cowboys, why would it be rigged against them, the team that gets the best ratings? So let's get all those people out of there. Like, I don't want to hear any of that. You're not a very, a very good team when it comes to not getting penalized. It's been a problem for a long time.
Yeah, and it would be one thing if it was just an aggressive defense. You know, you saw that a lot with the Legion of Boom. They played a physical style on the back end particularly, and were kind of like daring refs. Like, you really going to throw a flag on all these things? I remember it was a very common thing. They just played a physical style. Now, obviously, it was excellent for them. I think the Cowboys could get away with, they would be fine if it was just, you know, some pass interference stuff, some holding, some things like that on defense here and there because they're playing aggressive style. But it goes beyond that. You're getting those, plus you're getting all of these offensive line penalties on top of it. And so, yeah, is this a crew that was going to call a lot of penalties? Absolutely. Mike McCarthy talked about it after the game that they knew that going in. Jerry Jones mentioned after the game that was the, that they knew that going in, that the players that were talked to about it, like, hey, this is going to be one of these crews. Going to be like Thanksgiving against the Raiders. They called a lot. They called a lot of penalties against the Cowboys. This is the second time they've had a Cowboys game this year. The first time was the Vikings game, the one that Dak didn't play, and Cooper Rush started. And obviously, the Cowboys won that game in the final minute. So this is the second time they had the crew. But here's the deal: like, you can't sit there and depend on officials, because it's not like you're getting the same crew in the playoffs. Like, officials are going to be a factor in all of it. You have to be able to play through that stuff. Were they a factor today? Were some of the calls a factor? Sure. It is not, they did not make, they're not the reason that the Cowboys lost this game.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing also is like looking at the officiating as a whole and saying, okay, the officials were bad today, but like you said, it goes against both teams. You know, there's times where it was excessive calls, and there were times there were no calls too. You talked about the missed delay of game at the end. I thought DeMarcus Lawrence probably got held there back in the end zone when Kyler was rolling to his left. Like, there's missed calls. There's times where they were probably a little too generous with the flag. But I just, you know, when you boil it down to it, the offense, regardless of officiating, cannot put up 22 points. By the way, at home, like, that's the other thing. This offense is much better at home generally, and Amari Cooper is better at home generally, and they were just kind of invisible, even though they had the benefit of home field advantage.
Yeah, and by the way, like last year, the two teams that went to the Super Bowl were top 10 in the league and flags thrown against them, the Chiefs and the Bucks. Just because you're getting called for a lot of penalties doesn't mean you still can't go win the game. Did it hurt you? It absolutely did. Now, on that same token, we could go to the end of the game and that fumble by Eno Benjamin, which, you know, the Cowboys didn't have any timeouts left and the 2-minute warning hadn't hit yet. So the Cowboys couldn't challenge it as the refs ruled that he was down on the field. Watching the replay multiple times, I'm still torn. I don't think it was a clear fumble. I think you could argue that his hand was down, and I'm not real convinced that the refs would have overturned it, but it is something that maybe, you know, we could all have a gripe about. I know we all don't like the way that some of these instant replay rules work. Do you have any thoughts on that, John, and how kind of that went down?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like it to be more like college football, where like these plays are reviewed more than just having to throw a flag, especially late in games like that, where it goes up. The booth is reviewing all of these plays because they matter so much, especially late in the game like that. So where someone can, hey, buzz down and be like, we have to look at this again. Yeah, now people will complain and say that it'll make the games longer. That's one of the gripes that people have with the college football game, that, you know, it's a longer game, 4-hour games, whatever. I honestly don't think that any NFL fan would have a problem with that if it means getting calls right, particularly late in the season with winning teams that are looking to move up in the playoffs and then certainly in playoff games. So for me personally, now again, I saw, I think, two replays on the big screen of it. I thought it was a fumble. And I thought it was clearly recovered by the Cowboys. But to your point, KT, they still have to review it. And that doesn't, just because we saw it that way, doesn't mean that they would have seen it that way. And I don't know. I just don't even think the game should have had to come down to that particular play. There are just so many others that were available to be made. And again, it really is the being at home that it just, I mean, these are the things that, and hey, believe me, I understand Arizona's, that's where they're the best is on the road. You know, it just, it's hard for me to completely erase them losing up at Detroit and then them coming in here, ending this, I think they were on a 3-game slide, was it? Or was that longer than three? Am I wrong on that? On the Cardinals?
Four
games? Yeah. So ending that, obviously what we talked about in the preview podcast about how, hey, this is kind of what Cliff Kingsbury teams do this time of year. There was just a lot of things going in the direction of the Cowboys that it was like, if they would just take it and really be honest with you from the very beginning, because this isn't the first time we've seen this offense just sputter early on. You're just kind of like, how can you like put together a really good drive to start a game? How come it just It just always seems like they're kind of in mud at the beginning of the game, you know, and obviously early on there was the Tyler Biadasz false start. You know, there were a couple, yeah. Tyron had a holding. I'm trying to think who else did. I think maybe Lyle did as well. Like those are type of things that just killed those drives early where they never could even get out to get a lead, to get some momentum. I also say another key play, you know, was on the defenses. That double move AJ Green put on Trayvon Diggs early on. That was kind of a little punch in the mouth. Like, hey, we're gonna run this on you. And Trayvon bit on that. And that was a huge play early on. Obviously there was plenty of time to overcome it, but early on there was just a play here or there where they were key plays and it just seemed like they always went the Cardinals way.
Yeah, and also on that play, like, you know, again, like you can talk about whether it should have been reviewed or, you know, whatever the case may be, the Cowboys couldn't obviously challenge, but if you go back to why they couldn't challenge, I mean, I think Cliff Kingsbury kind of had a moment there where he outcoached Mike McCarthy that took away that timeout earlier in the game. If that doesn't happen, then you have a timeout in your pocket and you're able to challenge that call there. So I think there's some residual effect. And I'm also kind of, John, I don't know if you can explain this a little better, but the way that the officials review some of these things, if you remember, like, there was that fumble that it was like not ruled a fumble on the field in the first quarter against the Raiders, and it was like automatically reviewed upstairs without it even having to be challenged, and then the game just like went on, and it wasn't in the last 2 minutes or anything. It was in the first quarter.
It was ruled a turnover. Yeah, you're talking about the J-Ron Curse save on the sideline?
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, they decided to change their call on the field without asking anyone.
Right.
Which
and
is
so, like,
very strange.
Yeah, so I don't, like, I'm kind of unclear as to just, you know, that wasn't within the 2 minute warning of either second or fourth quarter. So I don't know exactly how that works, but regardless, I don't think
it probably depends
play
on the ruling on the field, because that play wasn't ruled a fumble. Everything I think changes if that play is ruled a fumble. And then again, probably the Cardinals probably challenge it. But because nothing was called, I think that is an issue there. To be honest with you, no, this won't work against the Cowboys. If I remember correctly, that's probably what factored in that 2014 playoff game when they beat the Lions on that pass interference where it was ruled one way on the field. And then all of a sudden they got together and they were like, it is not pass interference. And then obviously, you know, move Detroit back again. So I think it has to do with what's being called on the field. And because it was never ruled a fumble, that'd be one thing if they, you know, there was something like that. I think that changes things. It's just, it's so weird because you get used to, you watch college football on Saturday and all this stuff's reviewed. And then on Sunday, it's like, unless you challenge it, like nothing's getting reviewed.
Well, yeah. And that Raiders game is a little different. That was the Sean Hockley crew. And they clearly just bent the rules. Like but what these crews should be taught, and they are taught, but it's just hard to follow through in the moment, is to always rule it a turnover if there's ever any doubt, because you give yourself the plan B of going to review it no matter what. And that's not what the call is. The call on the field was that he was down. And again, looking at that replay on Fox in the moment, and I haven't gone back and looked at it like 50 times, but looking at it in the moment, I thought it was a fumble, but I did think that you could argue that his right hand was down. And if his right hand was down, then he's down. Before the ball came out, and I think it kind of was. So
you mean his hand was down, like out of bounds?
No. He was in bounds. Eno Benjamin's right hand. The ball was in his left hand. His right hand was down.
No, I don't think just your hand is down. I think you need to have a forearm down for it to be down, like your elbow.
Yeah,
down.
Right.
I don't think
like an elbow, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, but just a hand you can hold yourself up and continue to run.
Yeah.
Well, his knee was so close to the ground because he kind of reset.
His knee
almost like, you know, so it would have been close. And you're right. The Cardinals probably would have reviewed it. And maybe that does make a difference in the game. The point is, you had all that time. You were down 22-7. Like, the refs have nothing to do with Greg Zuerlein missing a field goal. The refs don't have anything to do with, quite frankly, your inability to run the ball, really not even try running the ball that often. Dude, it's amazing. It took your defense getting a stop and them punting to get CeeDee Lamb involved in this game. And that's inexcusable. And I don't know who that's on. I think the Cowboys have to ask themselves a lot of questions about their offensive line, not only because of the penalties, not only because of their inability to run the ball today. You watch all those batted passes. Man, just a lot of pressure in Dak's face.
Yeah.
You know, for a good portion of the game. And
well, what about Amari Cooper?
Kind of seen that a little too much this year.
Right. But you mentioned CeeDee Lamb. What about Amari Cooper? I mean, we come off of that game where he gets all these targets. In this game, he gets 7 targets, makes 3 catches for 18 yards. Like, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't think that there should ever be a game that Amari Cooper only has 18 yards. I really don't think that there should be a game where Amari Cooper has under 60 yards, to be honest with you. And there's just, we've seen that too much this season. We're just like, this is a bona fide number one wide receiver, and the production just hasn't been there this year. And I guess foolishly, I kind of thought that it was kind of heading in the right direction after that Washington game, but you also got to factor in the teams that they're playing when they're getting the stuff back on track, and they're not going to face any of those teams anymore. Every team they're going to face from here on out is better than any of those teams that they beat during that 4-game winning streak.
Yeah. And by the way, Amari Cooper, the most targeted receiver on the day today. I mean, Dalton Schultz had 10 targets as a tight end, but out of all the wide receivers, his 7 targets were the most targets. So it's not as if Dak wasn't looking his way. Just the passes weren't getting completed.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
You guys want to get into Greg Zuerlein, or are you good with that?
No, I think we probably should. I mean, the missed field goal in the first half, that's one thing, right? Okay. Let's go to the extra point real quick, because it's 22-13. The Cowboys score the touchdown to, was that the one to Cedric Wilson, I believe. So it's 22-13, and they were going to go for 2. And they end up getting a delay of game penalty. And they were going to go for 2 down by 9, which is kind of for some people might seem like an edgy decision. But really, I think it's interesting because you kind of give yourself, you know, there's about 12 to 14 minutes left in the game at that time. So you kind of know, do I need 9 points or do I need 7? And analytics is all based on going for the win, not going for the tie. Well, they get the delay of game, they get pushed back anyway, and it doesn't matter. They end up going for the extra point. And before that extra point was kicked, I was thinking, man, if he misses this and they were going to go for 2 and get a delay game, that's going to look so bad. And boy, he barely edged that extra point in there to make it 22-14. But yeah, no, they don't have what I would call a reliable kicker. So
right. That's
a problem.
That's scary.
You play in a league where games are close, you know?
And by the way, it looked a lot worse when Matt Prater's out there literally slicing the field goal post down the middle with every single kick that he was kicking.
That's because he was hitting those smelling salts so hard.
Yeah, Prater had a bad game against the Colts, you know, last week, and Ryan Succop with the Bucks has had a bad game. Yeah, I get all that stuff. Packers have had problems with Mason Crosby. You know, Matt Gay for the Rams has been pretty good this year. Like, it's not like there are. It's like Justin Tucker and like name a couple others that like you got to have them. Like Daniel Carlson's a pretty good kicker, but like. Other than that,
and what's the flip side, KAT? What's the flip side? Like, are you going to go? Is there somebody on the streets right now that you're going to trust more than that going into the playoffs? You're just bringing this guy in. I mean, it's possible, but I mean, whoever they're going to bring at this point, you're not going to feel that much more confident than you do in Greg Zuerlein right now. Just kind of where they're at. If they were going to pull the trigger, they needed to do it months ago.
Now, if you want to talk about drafting a guy in the 5th round next year, I can get down with that. But that's a. That's a whole other discussion we probably won't get into tonight. I want to say this. We should talk about the Michael Gallup touchdown. So Michael Gallup, it's now been reported that he is going to be out for the year, torn ACL. Yeah,
So what Jerry said is he's the one that put the information out there. And Jerry said he's out for the year, but then he wanted to add that, you know, ACL, but, you know, an MRI still pending. But I feel pretty confident in what he said in the fact of two things that go along with that. One is the immediate reaction of the players around Michael Gallup when he was on the ground pretty significant. So, and he had told them that he heard it pop when he was in the air. So that's never, those aren't good signs. And then this one right here is when I knew it probably wasn't great. The Cowboys in the press box announced that he was out for the rest of the game within maybe 10 minutes of him leaving the medical tent. And that's almost never happens. It's usually like questionable. Like I've even seen like some head to head stuff where you're just like, well, yeah, he's obviously out for the rest. And they'll say questionable to return. It's very common that almost always say questionable return. When they said he was out for the game, I was like, oh, that's not a good sign either. So technically, yes, there's still an MRI after, but from what they saw on the initial examination, obviously, you know, not good for the team's number three receiver heading into free agency on top of that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, there's a lot to think about his future. Man, I compare it to the Godwin injury a lot, which is interesting
because
he's been compared to Michael to Chris Godwin in Tampa Bay a lot. But I mean, what a big hit to them and their playoff chances. I mean, we're still kind of sulking in the disappointment of today's loss. But the truth is, this team is going to the playoffs, and they are going to host a playoff game in 2 weeks, and we're going to get up for that game. And man, I mean, it's great that you have Cedric Wilson on your team, who's proven to be a very nice, you know, utility wide receiver. But Michael Gallup was going to go cash in. Maybe the Cowboys give him some money. I mean, it's probably a longer discussion down the road, but maybe they give him some money to come back on a 1 year prove it deal type thing.
And I think it is important.
He's not going to be ready when the season starts next year, you know?
Sure. But we also need to point out that it's not like Cowboys are the only team dealing with this. DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to be back anytime. I just saw him after the game. He's still on crutches. I don't know how he's going to be back for, if he is at all. I don't think it would be before the NFC Championship game, if that. You mentioned Godwin. Woods Robert Woods for the Rams. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, a lot of teams are dealing with similar type situations that obviously it's not ideal. But if you go down the entire Cowboys roster, if you were going to lose somebody at a position, wide receiver has to be their deepest position. It's just, we don't think of it that way because the offense has struggled for the better part of the last 2 months.
Yeah. But also remember this offense, which is the quote unquote number one offense in the NFL, really built up a lot of that padding in the stats without Michael Gallup in the lineup earlier in the season anyway. So,
Wilson's a good player.
Right. I'm not saying that as a shot at Michael Gallup at all, but that's just kind of the reality. Like we've seen them be able to do this before, and I think they can. And as far as like his future, you know, we're just talking about Amari Cooper and the way, look, Amari Cooper's contract is out here. I think if Amari doesn't start to show up more regularly, that might be more of a discussion of between Amari and Gallup, which guy are you going to try to bring back in 2022? But that's, again, probably for another day.
Well, hey, since we're kind of being negative, let me throw out one positive here real quick. And you guys can shoot me down if you want, but I just was thinking of this as I was walking the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this actually could be a good thing for the Cowboys. All right. And this is why I say that. They win this game. They win in Philadelphia. Who's to say that they don't play Philadelphia in the first round? So you have to beat Philadelphia back-to-back weeks. I don't love that. Is the Cowboys team better in Philadelphia? To me, no question. Especially playing at AT&T Stadium, would love that matchup. But there's something about division rivals, that a team that's trending in the right direction in Philly. Jalen Hurts could have like this best game of his career type thing where he's running all over the place. I don't like the idea of having to beat the Eagles in back-to-back weeks. Now they're in a situation where they could open the playoffs against the Cardinals in the 4-5 matchup, depending. I mean, there's still a lot of things that have to happen. I really like the Cowboys facing this Cardinals team again. I really do. Like, I understand that it didn't go well in this game. Things went against them, but I think they're pissed off enough off of this game. There will be enough of a revenge type factor, the little things like that will be extra motivation as opposed to hosting the Eagles after you just beat them twice during the regular season and then getting them again. And yes, you'll be favored in that game and you probably should win that game, but there's just something about a division rival playing this scenario. And I know the Cowboys have done this before. I think it was in 2007 or 7 or 9 where they beat the Eagles at the end of the season. And then again, the playoffs, that's fine. These are different times. I didn't love that matchup. What do you guys think about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do kind of agree with that. Although, yeah, the Dallas has done that before. But I think one other thing with playing the Cardinals again, KT, you'll appreciate this, is I think we're really going to get to see how good this coaching staff really is, because they got outcoached today. And if you're going to go up against this same team, Arizona, for a second time, a good coaching staff makes the proper adjustments and comes back with a better game plan and with whatever the case may be, offensively and defensively. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think I'd still rather see the Eagles a third time than Arizona a second time. But I don't think I don't think it's that wild of a proclamation by you, John.
I don't think it's terribly wild, but I do disagree. I'm trying not to kill like the thought, because I would take on Jalen Hurts and the Eagles 100%. Now the 49ers may have a little different story, especially if they get Jimmy G back. I mean, Trey Lance did enough to beat Houston today, and sure, Jimmy G's not a world beater or anything, but they're a better team because they can run the ball and they're a physical team, you know, and things like that.
Can I throw in one other reason about this?
Well, I guess what I'll say is, like, now home field's out the window. The Packers are beating Minnesota 20-0 at halftime as we record this. Home field's out the window.
That was probably going to be the case anyway.
Do you even care at 2, 3, and 4? Do you even care at this point who you play? Because if you don't, I might just go ahead and sit everyone next week. And I know we want to get positive momentum and all that stuff, but as you've said a million times, John, it's the healthiest team. Well, let's get everyone healthy. All right, let's get Zeke fresh, and let's get Tony Pollard fresh, and let's just have everyone as good to go as possible. I almost don't care. Now, I guess I would prefer not to play the Cardinals or the Rams in a 4-5 situation. And that's who it would be if you're the 4. But I'm almost at the point of I don't care anymore. And I think I might just take next week off, to be honest with you.
One other thing I was going to add in there, and I know this goes against what we were talking about earlier with the officiating, but if you play the Cardinals again, you also have a different officiating crew, most likely.
Yeah.
So who knows how the game's called differently. There could be different things to it. Again, I'm just saying, like, if you're the Cardinals, it's also difficult to have to come in this building twice in 3 weeks and beat this team. You can say whatever you want and however down you're feeling about the Cowboys. If you look at it from the other side, I don't know that the Cardinals want to just come right back in here and think that they're just going to beat the Cowboys for a second time in 3 weeks at AT&T Stadium. They can think that, and it could happen. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying there are things that would trend in the Cowboys' favor if that matchup happens again. And for the record, I would, after watching the game today, and on top of watching Matthew Stafford play like Lion Stafford today, I still would much rather play the Cardinals than the Rams.
He's been the Lion Stafford the last month and a half.
I wouldn't say every week, but he's definitely had several games that were like that. But that team scares me more than the Cardinals do. Without DeAndre Hopkins, I'm saying.
I agree. I guess what they'll say is Kyler, like watching Kyler all year, and obviously things have changed a little bit for Kyler once he hurt his ankle, but like, there was never a time today when I thought Kyler was dictating how the game was going because he could go win with his legs.
Now, the best thing he did is he didn't throw any interceptable passes, and the stuff he did with his legs.
Well, one, the J-Ron curse in the end zone.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair. That's fair. But he also, with his legs, he never gave this pass rush a chance to like really build some momentum. I mean, you look at the Dorrance Armstrong sack that he did get on it. That was a huge momentum play. And that's something that this team builds off of, is those big plays. And because of Kyler's mobility, it did reduce the chances of the big Micah Parsons, maybe like sack fumble, the big DeMarcus Lawrence. You know what? Okay. I just talked myself into it. Maybe you would rather play Stafford than Kyler Murray, because I can see all those guys getting big hits on Stafford.
I could too. But the Rams have not been, they're not, I just don't think they're poised for any type of deep run. I'm not worried about the Rams.
All right, hold on. We're going to talk this out then. But aren't you also a little bit more nervous about facing Sean McVay than Cliff Kingsbury?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely I am. Yeah. So, you know.
But then again, you're also getting Vance Joseph, who today I saw him down there having the time of his life.
We just, what's so frustrating is the Cowboys in the first half of this year, their offense dictated how the defense has played them, right? They're like, okay, we're going to choose who we're going to double. Maybe we'll double Amari Cooper, or maybe we'll have a little extra attention on CeeDee Lamb, but we also got to stop the run. And it's not that way anymore. It's now defenses are dictating how they play the Cowboys. And the Cowboys are having to adjust to that, and it's just – It's tough.
Yeah, but that late touchdown drive they had, and you know, it kind of sucks that you have to resort to Cedric Wilson throwing the ball to really get a positive chunk play going. But
it was nice.
But it was nice. But I'm just saying, like, this offense, when it does get grooving and when it does click, like, they still have it. And so I'm not like, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't think they're broken. I just think they're not consistent enough, and sometimes they're just getting in their own way too much.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. And I don't know how that gets fixed, because McCarthy's spoken about how they do coach penalties, and Parcells, I remember, had the famous quote about how they don't coach penalties. You know, McCarthy said that they do coach penalties. I don't know what can change here. And at some point, it's not an officiating thing when you lead the league in penalties. Like, you're
the defensive backs. The defensive backs would tell you that it is difficult to week to week change how you're going to play on that back end. And the reason being, because especially now as we're getting into this portion of the season, we're playing good teams every week. Like, those receivers are so good that this isn't like Pee Wee or high school where you're like, well, I'm the better player, I can adjust some things and I'll still be right with the guy. You make a small adjustment against even like Christian Kirk or AJ Green or anybody that they're going to see against, you know, the Rams or Devontae Adams or, you know, whoever they're going to see in the playoffs. Like, that's the difference between a big play and not a big play. It's hard to just switch up from week to week how I'm going to play as a defensive back.
Yeah, but John, we coach penalties around
okay,
here.
Okay.
I mean,
that's fair.
Well, what's the answer? I mean, it's tough. Well, it's the refs are there. Like, that's happened in this league since the league started. There's been referees. Like, I have a hard time having the referee conversation because every team gets screwed by the refs. It's all like, it happens. It happened in the damn Super Bowl last year.
Like,
I don't know what to say at some point.
Yeah,
stop committing penalties. How about that? That's the only answer, and it shouldn't. I wish I had the answers. I don't. It's wasted energy getting mad, and it just frustrates me seeing players even have comments like, "Oh, well, we were playing another team. We were playing the refs out there."
Oh yeah, there was a lot of that in this game.
I don't know, man. It was 20. I thought it was 22-7 entering the fourth quarter. It sounded like y'all weren't good enough. And that's where McCarthy end up.
McCarthy talked like that after the game, too. So, yeah, no, you're right.
Oh, good luck getting him to be accountable about something after a loss. Good luck. I mean, I don't know what to say. And this is where I get, like, hey, end of the year, you're trying to piece crap together, and this thing's a bit of a struggle bus. It does tell you just how bad that Washington team was last week. Because now it does look like a fluke, doesn't it? All it took was really like one half of football to go, well, last week was a joke.
Yeah, but we could have saw it coming. I mean, this happened earlier in the year with the Falcons game too. So I mean, it's not like the first time they went out in the middle of a bad slump and just kind of dominated a subpar opponent. But going back to the secondary real quick, I think another thing that we saw today was, like, with all due respect to Trayvon Diggs and Anthony Brown overachieving and all this stuff, the secondary is not very good. They need that pass rush to get home a lot more. They can't just hold up on their own. I think it was Christian Kirk where Kyler had that ball where he was just sitting all day back there in the pocket and threw that deep left to Christian Kirk. I mean, if this secondary is fine, like, you can win with them, but they have to be the second act to the pass rush. If the pass rush isn't getting home, the secondary is going to get exposed.
Oh, and KT, with you mentioned the Super Bowl, I'll also add in there, it's never a good sign when anybody makes a big catch off of their helmet or anybody's helmet.
Dude.
And that was such a big play. I know it's still early in the game, but when you see that happen, you're just like, oh, that's not a good sign.
I think that actually kind of ping-pongs off of Saad's point about the secondary because, like, you know, you've got your main three guys, and Kelvin Joseph gets some snaps or whatever. You know, that was Nashawn Wright. Nashawn Wright had no clue where the ball was.
No.
You
know? Well, I don't think he was expecting that play.
But he wasn't expecting that play, and no one was, you know. And then there was another play where Donovan Wilson got caught in one-on-one. I think it was Ertz. And Donovan Wilson got flagged. And I was like, man, there's just no nuance to Donovan Wilson's game. It is fly down and hit you.
which is fun to watch.
Covering a guy one-on-one. Yeah, no, that's fun. But when it's cover a guy, turn your head and play the football, that's not a good spot for him to be in, and that's going to amount to a penalty, or it's going to amount to a play where you're giving up some yards. So, like, that actually, but I do want to say this, the quarterback needs to be better, though. I mean, and we can talk about how much pressure was getting in his face.
Let's stay on this topic.
Well, the quarterback needs to be better. He needs to be more accurate. And the fumble, we got to put it in there. Yep. I mean, how many times have we talked about ball security after a loss with him? A lot. 11 fumbles this year. I mean, that's a lot, dude. I mean, that's
11 fumbles because Tyler Biadasz is his center, so that factors into his 11 fumbles too. But go on.
Yeah, no, okay, I'll give you that. By the way, Kyler Murray leads the league in fumbles with 13 of them.
Well,
right?
He has the worst ball security I've ever seen. But anyway, yeah, not surprising. That dude's always running with the ball out. Like, he'll be like 15 yards down the field. You're like, well, you couldn't possibly throw it now. It would be a penalty. Why are you holding the ball like that? He always does that. But anyway.
But can't happen.
Kind of like CeeDee Lamb on that punt return.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, now that was playing with fire, wasn't it?
But gracious. I'm glad you brought up the quarterback thing. I will say, from the post game, I found the most interesting thing today was when Dak was specifically asked about Budda Baker's comments after the game. Now, I didn't hear what Budda said specifically, but Dak was told that Budda said, the way that you cause problems for Dak Prescott is you constantly are disguising things, you're moving players around. If Dak Prescott knows what you're doing on the back end of the defense and can sit there and dissect it, that's when he's going to have a big day. But if you disguise things, bring different blitzes, move guys around, they brought some DB stuff where they batted down some passes even when they didn't get home, and you are constantly keeping him guessing on what's going to be happening, that's when you're the best against Dak. And so that's one thing for Budda Baker to say. You'd be like, hey, it's after a win. Of course, you know, players are going to say stuff. What was the most interesting about it was Dak's response, because Dak said that, well, first of all, he wasn't defensive about it at all. And he said that he has to do a better job, but he's also noticed on film that more defenses do that to him than when he's studying the film of those defenses against other quarterbacks. So clearly it's something in the league that they see that they're like, hey, you know, and it probably goes back to Denver of like, hey, we did this, and it kind of confused him a little bit. And so other teams are seeing that on film and then they're implementing it. And Dak took complete ownership of it and was like, yeah, I noticed that on film. I have to be better in those situations. So it is something that, you know, it seems like other teams are trying to do, and it's something that they have to adjust to, because obviously if you don't adjust to that, that's exactly what you're going to see in the playoffs against better competition.
Yeah. And you know, John, that's a good point. And I'm glad Dak wasn't super defensive about it, but I will say this is the first year that he's playing, you know, obviously he got hurt early last year. This is the first year he's playing without Travis Frederick. And I think Travis Frederick was so smart and so good at the line of scrimmage with a lot of the blitz pickups and where, like, you know, where the defensive front is going, and really diagnosing a lot of those things. And I think, and that's not anything against, it's not anything like, you know, something Dak can't correct, but I do think
you're right.
Yeah, I think you probably start leaning on the fact that, like, you have a guy in Travis Frederick who's able to do all that, and now all of a sudden Dak has to either rely on Biadasz to do it or do it himself. And I think it's a bit of a learning curve after you went your first four full seasons in the NFL with that kind of a crutch.
And there's one other part. Hold on. I just want to add this in there. There's one other part, though, that's also different about this year. And this is Dak's sixth season. And without question, it's the worst running game he's had. And so when you don't have that extra defender always having to come up in the box, that changes the way that you're going to play offensively too, because you're so used to 16, 17, 18, 19, even last year, that you always had to account for Zeke in the running game, and teams aren't doing that as much as they have in the past. That's why you see them playing more too high against them. And this is the first year where he's seeing a lot of that, because you had to honor the Cowboys run game in the past, and you don't really have to honor it now. Like, you can get it done with even numbers in the box, even uneven numbers, and being a man down, it seems to be fine. Teams are able to stop this run, and that can't happen with this offense to reach its peak. Teams have to be scared of this running game, and they're just not right now.
It sure felt like there was a lot of, especially in the second half, of a lot of, you know, play action fakes and things like that. And I was going, dude, they've ran the ball like under 10 times. The Cardinals aren't going to bite on these play action fakes right now. It's not sucking anyone in. You know, it's well, I guess what I was to say is like they as a organization graded Connor Williams and Connor McGovern better than Tyler Biadasz. We know this because they're in the preseason. They were experimenting with those guys at center, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad strategy for them to really have a good heart to heart internally if they want to move on with Tyler Biadasz as their starting center. If they wanted to draft a center with a premium pick or with a top, maybe not first round, but like a second, third, or fourth round, where you can get a guy that might be an improvement over him, I would be all on board for that because I do think there's where a lot of the pressure is happening is in the middle, and you can kind of see it. DeMarcus Lawrence, about 13 minutes ago as we do this on Sunday night, John is live at AT&T Stadium, DeMarcus Lawrence posted a picture of him basically on top of Chase Edmonds punching the ball out, and it's a still shot of the ball is out, and you can see Edmonds' hand is on the field. His wrist is down on the ground, but his forearm and elbow are not, and the ball is out. So there's what you need right there. You need players to tweet about it right there, and that's definitely going to fix things.
Hold on. Whoa. No, that's not necessarily the case at all. What that does a lot of times is it makes things worse. You know, I've heard multiple coaches talk about how, you know, you go into a game knowing what a specific officiating staff calls. And so you try and talk to them about things. And you'll say, hey, watch out for 55. He lets the lineup off sides and things like that. And then within the first series of the game, that officiating crew calls one of your guys for lining up off sides. Like basically, hey, don't try and do my job for me. So you can also, that can also backfire on you and cause more problems for you when you do things like that. Or when you're critical of the refs after the game, which this team obviously was.
Man, I saw that what you had tweeted out from October 9th, 2019, that piece about Dak and Travis. That's really excellent. Yeah, that's a good point that we probably haven't talked about enough. You know, in the end, they got to clean things up, right? You're going to hear McCarthy say that all week. Yeah, because
Hold up. Okay, do we need 10 perfect players to have success?
No.
Like, I mean, my God. Like, okay, so you're a little bit weaker at center. Yeah, you have, like, all pros on the offensive line. You have the arguably the best receiving core, which obviously took a hit with Michael Gallup today. You have Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard. Like Dalton Schultz is played exceeded expectations. Like you're not going to be perfect at all 11 spots. Like, you know, there's some overcoming that happens with this. I mean, most of the teams that have success and win a Super Bowl, it's a war of attrition and you have to overcome losing guys and things like that. So yeah, the center is not what the previous center is, but there's still a ton of good players on this offense that, like, if one guy isn't as good as it was in the glory days, you should still be able to overcome that.
Yeah, and by the way, just to correct something, obviously this is Dak's second full season playing without Travis because he played with Joe Looney in 2019, obviously, when Travis was going through all that the year before he retired. So, but yeah, I mean, still, like, to John's point, there's still plenty of talent there on the offensive line. But yeah, you know, KT, you mentioned that thing that I just retweeted. If you go look at just the way they talk about Travis Frederick being the second quarterback out there, you know, to Dak's comments that John brought up in response to Buda Baker, I think that's something that probably factors in a little bit.
I'll say something else about, like, I get it. Like, Cowboys fans, after a loss, you might be mad at the referees. I understand some of that. I also think that, like, Micah Parsons will almost, like, he's going to draw his fair share of holding calls. I think there are times when both Micah Parsons and Randy Gregory won't get a holding call because they don't touch the offensive lineman. Like, they're so fast around the edge that the offensive lineman can't even grab them. And that might stop you from getting a holding call. In the end, you're going to hear all week McCarthy say things like, we've got to clean things up. That's true. Obviously, their defense, they win when they get turnovers. It feels like they lose games and they don't get turnovers. How do you clean things up? By not turning the ball over? Okay. That's kind of on Dak, but that's on everyone there. And cleaning up penalties. If you take away those things, maybe knock in an extra field goal from 47 yards. If you take away those things, put all those in the equation, maybe you win today, you know? So, I mean, it's not some, like, end-all be-all, and I've lost any type of, like, expectation of trying to make Cowboys fans feel better after we do these podcasts on nights where they lose. Like, once we get to the midweek, and we'll take a look at Week 18 with the Eagles and how they want to approach that and what the playoff scenarios are, we can get into all that stuff. But I know for me, when I'm looking at it, I'm kind of like, it's still there. It's still in front of you. It just, the underlying factor, I think, John, you mentioned it earlier, the thing that really stands out is this happened to you at your own house where you had dominated pretty much everyone all year, you know, except for that Raiders game that was kind of weird. But, like, that's where it really kind of stings more than anything is just, like, letting that happen to you in Arlington.
And it's no shot at the fans. I mean, that's certainly one of the things over the years that people will talk about is like, hey, you know, AT&T Stadium, not the greatest of home environments. You know, Mike McCarthy said earlier in the week, he was like, I'm being honest. Like, I didn't worry about going to AT&T Stadium when I was coaching the Packers. And most of the people that responded to my tweet about that said, yeah, he's not lying. He's right. You know, and but
I don't
that
really believe
been,
that anymore to you.
I was going to say today was great. It was great against Washington. The only time this year where I was like, man, that's embarrassing was the Denver game. Like, because there was just, I mean, there were probably just as many Denver fans and you could just tell it was like a noon game. Most Cowboys fans sold their tickets to that game. That was the only time this year where I was like, yeah, the crowd wasn't what it should be for a team that's a playoff team and a contender. But other than that, though, I mean, I thought they were outstanding today. Just they weren't given enough opportunities to really get into the game. But when they needed to, they were certainly loud. And I thought they were outstanding during that last possession that the Cardinals had. I mean, I was surprised the Cardinals were able to kind of maneuver and get down the field as easily as they did on that responding drive. I did not think that was going to happen after the Cowboys scored on the Amari Cooper touchdown. They got the 2-point conversion. All momentum was on their side. This place was rocking. Like, you could even have given up like one or two first downs because with the timeouts they had, you were still fully in this thing. And the fact that they couldn't go off the field there, it's just very disappointing.
Well, that's when they put Kyler kind of, you know, once it finally said, okay, let's kind of unleash him a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, and that is the scary thing that you face in the playoffs, for sure.
Yeah, I know. The fourth quarter, you know, it's the thing we talked about with Russell Wilson.
I'll be honest,
I
thought we were going to see a little bit more of Dak doing that today than we did.
Yeah, it's just, it's different, and it's not, it doesn't, it to me, it doesn't look like a fully committed Dak Prescott when he's running downhill.
Yeah. Yeah,
to me,
sure.
I don't see that. And I guess understandably so in a way, but I feel like it might make a little bit of a difference. I mean, there was a play where Micah Parsons was lined up at left defensive end, and then Kyler just took the snap and he ran it the other direction. It's like they almost like they identified where Parsons was and they're like, okay, we're going to run away from you. And, you know, obviously the two option plays. You know, that's tough to defend right there late in the game when you need a stop. And then when it comes down to it, I think we should talk about the field goal where McCarthy had to take a timeout.
Yeah.
It was 4th and 5, and Cliff was lining up to go for it. And I certainly thought that they were going to just take the delay of game and then kick it. But maybe they go for it on 4th and 5. So maybe you have to take the timeout there. I don't really know.
No, Cliff Kingsbury said after the game that the whole plan the entire time was to have Dallas burn the timeout. So,
What if they don't though? What if they don't call the timeout?
You throw a touchdown pass to Matt Prater.
Well, no. What if they scramble and they get enough, like you don't get the ball snapped in time.
Yeah, I think you take the delay game, obviously.
Yeah, there you go. You know Prater's good from 78. So.
Yeah, except for that one week.
More often than not, though, I'll ride with that dude. When you look across the league. At kickers, there's not many I would take over Matt Prater.
You know, and that play, no, I'm with you, dude. And that play was after
especially when your home games are inside. Sorry, go on.
You know what's that play was after the 3rd and 5, which we talked about earlier, where Kyler just kind of threw it up, and it was Diggs and Kearse covering Zach Ertz, and Kearse almost intercepted it right there. So did the Cowboys not get their defense on the field because they were, you know, kind of jumping around and celebrating, or did they just not make a full? Like what happened there?
I honestly don't remember.
I'm not like trying to. Well, I guess I am because you want to find out why it happened.
You wouldn't be second guessing it as much if that fumble doesn't happen because there would have been no reason to sit there and go, if you only had one more timeout, you could have challenged this play. Like, you know, you also could have saved and not called the timeout a little bit earlier. Who says that? You know, maybe it's on the play after that was a fumble. Yeah. And then after you called another time, I like it just, it's looking back on it and it's hypotheticals because you're going to sit there and second guess what happened because there was a fumble. If there's no fumble there and Arizona just keeps moving the ball down the field, like they probably were going to, cause your defense wasn't stopping them clearly late with Kyler running all over the place. No one would even be talking about that right now.
Yeah. And that last drive, by the way, not a single third down for the Cardinals. They started with with just under 5 minutes left in the game and they ran out the clock. The only third down they had was the last QB kneel. They had no third downs before that.
Bummer.
Yeah, and it's probably difficult for the pass rush to adjust to playing to him, because this pass rush is very aggressive. They like to get sacks. They know that they can get sacks because you have to deal with so many different rushers. And really, the stopping Kyler is not really to sack him, because you're not going to get that many opportunities. It's to get him to do what we saw on several occasions today, and that's when he goes to scramble and he looks to run, but then all of a sudden you have another guy come up, and then he just throws it into the first row of the stands. And he did that a decent amount. So he's not getting the sack, but those are the type of plays that kind of neutralize him, because you have the guys there that even if he decides to run, it's not going to be a big run. It's when you sell out to try and sack him, and then all of a sudden it opens up these running lanes, and he's obviously a handful in the open field.
John, you're obviously in the media scrum with Jerry Jones. We'll throw to that here in a second. Before we do that, we'd like to get your closing thoughts as you're live at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah, I'm surprised with how they played. I just thought that they would build off of this four-game winning streak and keep it rolling, and I just didn't think that the Cardinals were going to play as well as they did. I just, you know, again, maybe I overrate when someone goes up to Detroit and loses there, particularly this season. But I just did not think that the way that they've been playing recently, that they were going to be a team to beat the Cowboys. That's why I picked the Cowboys to win by 2 touchdowns. And another thing was just seeing that the Vegas line go from 2.5, 6.5 throughout the week. I felt like Vegas was probably had some good info on some guys that weren't playing, like a James Conner or something like that. I don't think that the Cowboys should have lost this game. The Cowboys playing at home with how healthy they were. I think the Cowboys should have won this game, and they should have been the ones late running out the clock. It's a disappointing game, especially with the playoffs this close. It's certainly not what you want.
What about you, Saad?
Yeah, I think the fact that this came at home just makes it even more, just even that more of a, you know, shot, just because at home, that's kind of been where they've been at their best, and for them not to be able to do that. And then also, you know, coming off that Washington game, what was the big cliche that was like, that was, you know, being just screamed all over the place? It was all three phases. And I think all three phases today had a lot left to give, especially the offense, obviously the missed field goal. Talk about the curse, drop interception. Again, I'm not holding the defense too hard to account on this one, but I do think that there was a lot that in all three phases that didn't go as well as it could have.
In the middle of the week, we'll be back with another edition, getting you ready for Week 18 against the Eagles. We'll cross the bridge on some health issues for the Cowboys. We'll cross the bridge on their likely playoff matchup and some of the playoff possibilities based on the outcome of that game and some of the other games in Week 18 as well. And we'll go from there. For Father John Machota, who is live at AT&T Stadium, for Saad Youssef and our producer Kent Garrison, we'll now throw it to Jerry Jones. And John got some audio from the media scrum there at AT&T Stadium, and that's how we'll close this episode with Jerry. We'll talk to you next week on About Them Cowboys.
They were well prepared, really have their coach and their staff were outstanding, and they did a great job of basically attacking us in our fronts. They compromised early what we were trying to do to protect Dak, compromised that, compromised our ability to run. We went in with obviously run the ball. We got out of that, had to get out of that pretty quick. So they just played an overall game. That is the type of team they will be playing, and very likely could play us. That's the type of team that we'll be playing every time we line up in the playoffs.
Jerry, how much disappointment on the fumble? Because if officials rule that a fumble, then they automatically review.
You got to have some timeouts left.
But if they rule it a fumble, it's automatically reviewed.
Well, they didn't rule it a fumble. That's why you save a timeout if you can. But, of course, we were trying to keep something left on that clock to get it done. But that's the risk you take. You couldn't eat it when you use it. But I wish we had had it left to use. Could have made a big difference, obviously. But in general, their physicalness, their defensive line's physicalness with our offense was a big, in my mind, thing out there. But the good good news is we play a game like this, you see what it's going to be like. Every play is going to be like every play is a playoff play. And we were playing like that out there. That was a very intense game. And there, boy, our guys fought all the way back, came back, had plenty of fight, as we you would expect at the end. Very disappointing. The positive is that's the kind of game that will prepare you for the playoffs right there.
Does that shake any confidence in what you guys can be?
Well, I'm not. And I don't see, I saw nothing about the way that individual play or team play that would shake your confidence. I saw what can happen to you when you play a playoff team and they're making some good things happen. We knew all along that what we were dealing with and the quarterback, we knew what we were dealing with relative to the challenges on our with our offense. We expected them to be up. There were no surprises out there.
A lot of penalties. A lot of them came on third down. Real toxic one. What did you make of that?
Expected those penalties on my, just to show you what I read right before we kick off. What I read was major concern. This group calls a lot, or ticky-tack, they call a lot of penalties. And that's going to be a concern for us today. And, of course, some of those plays that would have made us not look like physically we were struggling, some of those would have looked a lot better if we could have kept some of those third down, or some of those, not third down plays, but some of those we got called back. That probably has a big impact on how this thing looked. But it looked was a tough physical game. Their defense was very physical. We saw it throughout the game, and I was proud of the way we came back at the end, and we had everything out there that we want to play for, but we didn't take a big step back here at all as far as this team getting ready for the playoffs. And I'm not just looking for something good. This is the kind of expectation that you can be ready for.
You got to prove you can beat a team like this, though. Playoff
competition. Well, we've got to, or you stop in the playoff. You can lose to a team like this, too, real easy. And it's going to always be a dogfight in the playoffs, in our mind, in my mind. So you bet your butt you can lose when you step there against a playoff team.
In
a New York minute. And so you got to be ready to have it all, get your execution right and make some good things happen.
Do you want to see your starters play next week, or would you like to get some reps for those guys?
I want to see them play. Yeah, we need that's a playoff team likely that we're playing in Philadelphia, quite possibly. We need to play a playoff game. This is what gets you ready to go.
Michael Gallup exiting with a knee injury. What's the outlook there with Gallup?
He's out for the year.
Is it ACL?
Yes. We've got to do some. I'm giving you that's absent an MRI.
Another check.
But that's just the initial diagnosis.
When you after last week in the offensive showing and today to come back. Did that surprise you? Did you think you guys were past this?
I think Arizona had everything to do with it. We were playing Washington last week. Arizona's a different cup of tea. I mean, really, I think give Arizona their due. They were really physically played well and were very physical with their defense. And it was quite a challenge for us. And we sure got some things out there that can get you playoff wins and maybe farther. And I saw that too. In some pretty adverse type situations, I saw our team positively respond. And we should be, at the end of the day, none the worse for what we do in the playoffs. We may should positively be improved over just getting a playoff to see what can happen to you if you don't have your day. All right? I fucked it up.
Hey, hey!
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.